All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. Excuse me. Okay. First of all, I apologize for last week's cancellation, just extenuating circumstances, but Emir Tzashem will make up for it. I want to deviate a little bit from our normal order, and then we're only up to Kapitel Yud Beis, chapter 12, actually now chapter 13, but I wanted to skip forward a little bit to do Kapitel Lamed, and you'll see why in just a moment. So Kapitel Lamed, chapter 30, is one which we are very familiar with. It begins the section of Psuke Dezimra each and every morning in Shachris, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, a song of dedication of the home that was made by David HaMelech. Aramimcha Hashem, I will praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you have raised me and you did not allow my enemies to rejoice over me. Hashem, I have cried out to you and you have healed me. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've brought me up from the depths. We'll just use the English over here. You've brought my soul up from the grave. You have revived me from descent into the pit. Kirega biapo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is only for a moment. Chaim birtzono, but you could spend an eternity in his goodwill. Be'erev yalim bechi v'labo'o kirina. In the morning, one goes at night, one goes to sleep crying, and in the morning one could awake rejoicing. I've said in my tranquility, I will never falter. Hashem, Hashem, with your will, you set up my mountain to be might. You hid your countenance and I became frightened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I cry out, I supplicate to you. What gain is there in my blood, in my descent to the grave? Will dust thank you? Will it recite your truth? Shema Hashem Mechaneni, Hashem Haye Ezrali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear me, have compassion on me, help me. Hafachta Misbedi L'macholi, Pitachta Sa'akiva Tazreni Simcha, you have turned my lament into dancing, you have loosened my sackcloth and girded me with joy. Leman Yizamercha Kavod V'lo Yidom, Hashem Elokai Li'olam Odeka, so that my soul will sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. So this kapitel is exceptionally beautiful on a number of different levels. Seems to really be echoing an ongoing theme that we've already seen developing in Sefer Tehillim. This notion of incredible suffering, this notion of difficulty, but yet the amazing part of David HaMelech is the combination on one hand of lamenting the difficulties of the present while always being filled with incredible anticipatory excitement and optimism for the future. Now, this kapitel is especially important. If you look at number 2, the Mishnah in Maseches Bikurim says the following. We know that there's a mitzvah Bikurim. So what's the mitzvah Bikurim? Bringing of the first fruits. Now remember, it's important to understand it's not all first fruit, it's only which fruits? Right? Shiva Saminim, right? The 7 species which Eretz Yisrael is blessed with. And interestingly enough, it's not all of the first fruits, it's some of the first fruits. But to make a very long story short, the process goes somewhat like this. The people who live either in Yerushalayim or very close proximity to Yerushalayim had to actually bring the fruit itself. There was a mitzvah to bring the fruit itself. If you live a little bit more of a distance and transporting fruit came with the risk of spoilage, you were permitted to go ahead and transfer the sanctity of the Bikurim onto money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and use the money there. But really, Me'ikardin is supposed to bring the fruit. So the Mishnah Maseches Bikurim discusses, and it must have been an amazing sight, the incredible fanfare that accompanied the bringing of Bikurim. So the Mishnah discusses the idea, you can imagine this, that they shut down all businesses. They shut down all businesses, so that everybody was there to greet the only Bikurim, the one who were bringing up the Bikurim, and it was just an incredible sight to be able to see Jews converging from all different places, the marketplace is overflowing with beautiful, just an incredible thing. They used to, the Mishnah discusses that they would tie gold ribbons around the horns of the oxen that would pull the carts with the produce on it. See here, if you look at number 2, the Mishnah Maseches Bikurim says the following. He says, "Hacholil makel lifnehem ad shemagin laharabais." They would go ahead. You know, it's interesting. I think it's sometimes hard for us to appreciate, because the truth is, music is not really a part of our present-day religious service. I mean, we sing during davening, but instruments is not really something we associate it more with other streams of Judaism, but in we'll call regular Orthodox shuls across the spectrum, you're not going to find instruments. I remember the first time that I ever had a davening with an instrument was actually a couple of years ago. I took a group from my shul to Eretz Yisrael, and on the last day of Hanukkah, we're in Maras HaMachpelah. And there we had a beautiful mamash, an incredible, it was a 2.5 hour shacharis. It's not for the weak of hearts, right? But two and a half hours. But mamash, there they have instruments, they have everything. And the truth is, it gives you a little bit of a flavor as to how incredibly impactful tefillah can be with a musical accompaniment. But music, we know, is a staple of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing happens without music. Everything had shira. Everything had singing. So whether it was just the Levitic chorus or the choir, or whether it was actual instruments, everything was done with shira. So the Mishnah says, amazing enough, as they're bringing the Bikurim to the Harabayis, HaCholil Makilifneim. Somebody's playing the flute. So the flute was being played before the people are going up to bring the Bikurim, Ad Shemagin LaHarabayis, until they get up to the Temple Mount. Higiyo LaHarabayis, they get to the Temple Mount. Afilu Agrippas HaMelech Notel HaSal Al Ksefo, V'nichnas Ad Shemagia LaAzara. So once he gets to the Temple Mount, even the king himself would take his basket of produce and put it on his shoulder, which is another way of saying that until they got to the Harabayis, so people, if they had a lot of fruit, you'd put it on a wagon, you'd somehow find a different way to carry it. But once you got to the Harabayis, you had to carry your fruit yourself. When they got to the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the Dibru Halavim Bashir, Aromincha Hashem Ki Dilisani, Velo Simachta Oivai Li. So the people who brought the Bikurim were greeted by the Levim singing Shira, and what did they sing? This capital. Capital Lamed. Aromincha Hashem Ki Dilisani, Velo Simachta Oivai Li. Now we will discuss why they sang this particular chapter, because the truth is, you just read it and you're all familiar with it. This does not seem to have anything to do with Bikurim. And the truth is, it's not even that much of an upbeat kapitel. It's optimistic in that David HaMelech is confident that all will be okay, but it's not a simcha dik. It doesn't seem to kind of be effusive in its happiness. So it's interesting that they chose to welcome Makrive Bikurim with it. Okay, but that's not why I'm skipping to it. I'm skipping to it because of number three. The Maseches Sofrim writes that when else do we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid? B'Chanukah. So what I'd like to really do is devote the next two classes, Emir Tzah Hashem, to this particular kapitel as a way of, first of all, learning about the kapitel and also shedding a little bit of light on the Yom Tov of Chanukah through the prism of kapitel Lamed. So here you have Masechet, and by the way, this is our present-day niyug to today, that on Chanukah, after Shacharis, some have an interesting minhag to do it after Mincha as well, but I don't think most communities do that, but certainly by Shacharis, we add in, so we say Mizrach Shir twice. We say it as part of Shacharis, and then we say it again at the conclusion of davening in honor of Chanukah. Okay, so there are a couple of questions that immediately come to mind when looking at this kapitel, right? What's the most obvious question? The most obvious question. Why do we say? All right, what does that have to do with Chanukah? Good, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's not our obvious question for today, but it's a good question. What's the when you look at this kapitel, what strikes you immediately? Very good. Meaning the opening line is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. This is the song that King David sang when they inaugurated the home. So the truth is, we automatically assume the home is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So first of all, the rest of the kapitel has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. What's the theme of the rest of the kapitel? What's the theme?
About hope, excitement, emuna.
Right? It's a couple of things. It's about sickness. It's about healing. It's about suffering. It's about saying to God, I could better serve you if I live. And nothing to do with, at least it would appear on the most basic external level, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So number one, how do we understand the rest of the kapitel? in light of the opening phrase that seems to set the stage for David HaMelech speaking about the Beis HaMikdash. And then the second follow-up question is what? If it indeed is about the Beis HaMikdash, then what's the next obvious question? Excellent. Why is David HaMelech making a capital about the Beis HaMikdash when he in fact is not the one who was there for the Chanukah's Habayis? David HaMelech did not inaugurate the temple. David HaMelech never stepped foot in the temple. So why, when that phrase, Mizmor Shir Chanukah's Habayis David, makes it sound like this is the song that David sang when the temple was inaugurated. But David HaMelech was not there for the inaugural day. So these are the two basic questions we're going to focus on today. A, how do we understand this capital as relating to the Beis HaMikdash when the opening phrase makes mention of the bias, but the rest of the capital doesn't seem to fit into that theme? And number two, why is David HaMelech singing about an inauguration that he will never experience? So a couple of different approaches to this. Take a look at number four. The easiest approach to this is the Malbim. So the Malbim says, Shir Chanukah Habayis, HaMizmor Kulo Yusad, Lo Seis Hoda'a Bechaluson V'Imei Machlio. So says the Malbim that this capital was actually made by David HaMelech after he was deathly ill and then was healed. Now, we're going to make a couple of references to this. The Navi does not explicitly tell us about a prolonged illness of David HaMelech. The only time we hear about David HaMelech being ill is when? At the end of his life. Right? At the end of his life, when the whole episode where his son Adoniah ben Chagias is crowned as king, Bathsheba has to confront him. But there also, it's not as much as sick. David's old. David's old. So interestingly enough, Oh, we're going to get to that also. But right now, we're going to be excellent. Right now, the Malbim seems to be actually referring to a physical sickness, which we'll see other non-Navi sources that point to this as well. So the Malbim says, when did David, because remember, every time we learn a capital, we always have to understand the context. So here, the Malbim is saying that this capital was created by David after he was exceptionally ill and was then healed. V'lo nimtza bo shum inyan mechanukas habayis. So says the Malbim, I don't understand. The capital seems to speak to a situation where a person was ill, because remember, that's the second line. The third one. Hashem Elokai, shivati elecha, vatir pa'eni means what? You healed me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I called out to you, and you healed me. So the Bible says, okay, so what are we being healed from, A? And B, which is our more fundamental question, what does it have to do with the bias? David HaMelech opens with the statement about the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't speak about it again. So look what he says. Umevuar, shahabayis hamuzkar po, hu habayis hamasholi. Says the Malbim, the bias, the home that is referred to in this capital, is not the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, the home here is the metaphoric home. What's the metaphoric home? Hu haguf shehu ma'on lenevesh ubayis laha'adam hapinimi hashochin bedar bikirbo. Right? The dominant aspect of who each and every one of us are is the neshama. Right? The neshama ultimately is who and what we are. But the neshama needs a home. Just like if you look at a physical home. So a home, we know, is only as beautiful and only as radiant as what? As the people who live inside of it. A home by itself is just wood or just stone, it's nothing. But if the people who live inside of it are special, the home becomes special as well. So says the Malbim, the home that David HaMelech is referring to over here is the body. Is the body. Why is the body called the home? Because the body is the home for the neshama. The body is the home for the soul. Ki hanefesh shua adam be'emes, because man, in his core, man's core identity is not his physicality, it's his soul. V'haguf hachomri, hu rak bayis chomer l'shifta ko yimei hayosa b'metzuda. And the point of the body is there to just simply house the soul all the days that the soul exists in this world. V'eis chala, when a person becomes ill, so what happens? The structural integrity of the home is called into question. Right? Illness means that the physicality, the physical structure of the home has been called into question. Not called into question is the wrong word. Has been weakened. The foundation has been weakened. And when a person is healed, then what? Then the house, so to speak, has been reinforced. then the foundation has been re-solidified. Lochein tzien shem hashir b'shem chanukas habayis l'david. Rotzel omar bayis david ha'atzmi ma'on nafsho sheneschanech beherpo oso. So says the Malbim something amazing. That Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid has absolutely nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the bias that is being rededicated over here? David HaMelech's personal bias, his physical bias, his body. That David HaMelech is speaking about a time where here he became exceptionally ill. And like I said, we'll see later on where this illness comes from. But David HaMelech was exceptionally ill. The home, the structural integrity of the home began to crumble. He was then healed. The home, so to speak, was re-solidified. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis David. This is the song that David HaMelech sang when he re-inaugurated his home, when he experienced a renewed vigor and physical vitality, when he was healed from his illness. Now the beauty of the Malbim is we have no more questions, right? Because then, first of all, we don't have to worry about David HaMelech speaking about a Beis HaMikdash that he was never experienced, because it's not about the Beis HaMikdash. The rest of the kapitel now fits in beautifully, because David HaMelech speaks about being healed. He speaks about the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me refuah, because I could do for you more when I am alive than when I am dead, and it's perfect. The only problem is... Excellent. So now, it doesn't tell us why we read it on Hanukkah. And by the way, although we're focusing on this on Hanukkah, but go back to the Mishnah Bikurim also, it doesn't tell us why we're reading this for Bikurim also. Like, what does this have to do? But let's leave Bikurim on the side. Then, we have to question the practice of including it as part of the end of Shacharis over the 8 days of Hanukkah. Okay. But, again, if you want to leave now, you can. You can be very happy with this Malbim. No problem. Shalom Yisrael. It's glatt. It's perfect. And again, like I said, when you read it according to the Malbim's understanding, you have no further follow-up questions. Okay. Take a look at number 5. Rashi comes along. I apologize for my back. Okay. So Rashi in number 5 says the following. Shir Chanukas Habayis. So Rashi says, Shoyomru Halevim Bechanukas Habayis Bimei Shlomo. So Rashi comes along. It's a very important historical piece of information to understand. David HaMelech knew that he was not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Nasan HaNavi told him explicitly that he was not going to build it. So says Rashi, David understands this, and he creates this particular chapter when? For his son who would build it. So according to Rashi, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, this is the song that David made that should be sung when the Beis HaMikdash will be inaugurated, parentheses, and he knows full well that it's not going to be by him, that it's going to happen through his son Shlomo. Okay, so that at least helps to answer the Chanukas Habayis piece. But still we're left with the question of, then what's the rest of the kapitel doing? How is the rest of the kapitel somehow linked to the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash? So look at the Ibn Ezra. There are a couple of different approaches with this. So the Ibn Ezra writes, 6 Aleph, Mizmor Chanukah Sabayis, Yesh Omrim, Shetziva David, Sheyinagnu HaMishorim Zeha Mizmor, Bechanukah Sabayis HaRishon, Yesh Omrim, Bechanukah Sabayis HaSheni, O Hashlishi, Kidoma Yimei HaGolus Limei HaCholi Kaasher Eforesh. So listen to this. So the Ibn Ezra did just an interesting aside. The Ibn Ezra writes that it's not necessarily clear that David made this to be sung at the inauguration of the first temple. Maybe he made it for the second temple, or maybe amazingly enough, he made this for Emir Tashem Hei Rabbi Amenu, the third Beis HaMikdash. Or the simplest answer is all three, right? Lavdai could be the song of inauguration for all of them. So, interesting enough, the Ibn Ezra gives us a quick answer. He says, if that's the case, that's for the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, then why do the rest of the kapitel speak about illness? So he says, this actually makes sense if you look at it through the lens of the third Beis HaMikdash. He says, Golos, and we've seen this theme already in chapters 10, 11, and 12, that David HaMelech compares the process of Golos to the process of sickness. So therefore, according to that approach, says the Ibn Ezra, if this is the song to be sung at the inauguration of the third Beis HaMikdash, after 2,000 years of, or hopefully now more than 2,000 years, of prolonged exile, which for the people, which for a nation feels for to the individuals like sickness, then it makes perfect sense. But he goes on. Six ways. V'akorov Eli, but the Ebenezer then advances another approach. Kizeha mismor chibru b'chanukas beiso beis arozim ki akosov lo hiskir beis Hashem. So the Ebenezer says something different. The Ebenezer says, it doesn't say Mizmor Shir Chanukas Beis Hashem, Mizmor LeDavid. It just says Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis. Right? It says home without any kind of modifier. Says the Ibn Ezra, David HaMelech sang this song when he built his palace, when he built his personal palace. Va'osa Hazman. So why would he be singing a song when he built his palace? Va'osa Hazman Chala David. When David finished building his palace, he became very ill. But he was healed from this illness. The Yom Rabbi Moshe, ki David his Abel, kasher Omer lo Nasan, ki hu lo yivna habayis l'shem. So interestingly enough, says the Ibn Ezra, why did David become ill? He became ill when the Navi told him that he will not be privileged to build the Beis Hamikdash. V'kasher Omer lo, ki Shlomo b'no yivne habayis. But when the Navi told him that his son Shlomo will build the home, will build the Beis Hamikdash, as his azer simcha tachas evlo, then happiness replaced his mourning. Ki b'no kamohu, because one's child is an extension of oneself. V'lo yecharfuhu ha'oyev, and his enemies will no longer disparage him. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. V'amar ki yagon hanefesh nimshal l'choli haguf. And David HaMelech discusses in this capital that emotional distress. Emotional distress is just like physical illness, the yoser kasha, and sometimes can even be more difficult. Ki derech ruach ish yilchalel mechalo. So according to the Ibn Ezra, something amazing is happening over here. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid was sung when David HaMelech finished building his home. What happened when he finished building his house? Remember, the Navi does tell us this, that David HaMelech, after he finishes building his beautiful palace, says, it's not right. It's not right that I should live in such a beautiful palatial estate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be housed in a tent. It's not right. So that's when he wanted to begin building the Beis HaMikdash, and the Navi tells him, you're not going to do it. Now, why he won't do it, we'll discuss. But you're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Says David HaMelech, at that point in time, I slipped into almost what could be categorized as a depression. I got very upset. I was emotionally distressed. Until the Navi told me that my son will build the Beis HaMikdash. That gave me a degree of nechama. So therefore, according to Ibn Ezra, you have to read like this. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. When David HaMelech built his home, he sang this song. Now what happened? He wasn't singing the song over building his home. He sang this song because he was not ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he slipped into a depression, into a terrible emotional state. That's why the rest of the capital speaks about physical illness. Because says the Ibn Ezra, what's the most difficult part of emotions? I know I'm outnumbered when asking this question over here, right? Right? What the most difficult aspect of emotional turbulence is what? Getting out of it, okay. Describing it. It's very difficult to describe emotions, right? That's why we get frustrated when people don't know how we feel. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's because it's very difficult to actually understand how a person feels. You know, if a person breaks their arm, I understand the bone is broken. I can understand the pain that's associated with that. When a person experiences emotional turbulence, sadness, depression, even joy, right? Even joy, it's very difficult for someone to understand how it is that you feel. That's why, I think I've mentioned this in the past, sometimes the worst thing you could ever say to someone who is suffering is, I know how you feel. You don't know how I feel. I appreciate the sentiment, but you don't know how I feel. You're not me. Because you can't know how, no matter how close you are to a person, you never fully understand how it is that a person feels. So David HaMelech, when writing this capital, is emotionally crushed that he is not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's crushed. So how does he convey to the reader that he is crushed? He can't describe his feelings because that won't do it justice. So instead, what does he do? He describes his emotional pain using physical illness terms. Because that's something that the reader can relate to. So when you tell me that you're sick, when you tell me that you're in bed, when you tell me, I understand that. I have a context for that. So according to the Ibn Ezra, there's no real physical sickness, but the physical sickness is used as a way of conveying to the reader the profundity of the pain that David HaMelech is experiencing emotionally. So it should have been an incredible day where I built my home and then I was going to build God's home, turned out to be a crushing day, because the Navi told me that I will not get to build the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you want to understand how crushing it is? Let me describe it to you in physical pain terms, even though it's not physical pain, it's emotional pain. But let me give the reader a context as to how it is that I'm feeling. And even though, again, the PS is good in that Shlomo will get to build the home, but nevertheless David HaMelech suffers a terrible emotional setback when being told that he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Yes?
I have a question about that, though. Because he doesn't say
that
physical pain
is
okay. He says
I cry out. Tirpa'eni. No, it's look in the third pasuk. Hashem Elokai Shivat Elecha Vatirpa'eni. You healed me. No. But no, so it's all hinged on that word tirpa'eni. Tirpa'eni means you healed me. You healed me. So you're right. It's not as explicit as the Ibn Ezra would lead us to think. But being that David HaMelech frames this as a process of healing indicates to us that he's trying to frame it in a physical context. But you're correct. You're correct. So according to the Ibn Ezra then, this entire capital really speaks to David HaMelech's emotional distress over not having been able to build the Beis HaMikdash. But again, he chooses to use the word refuah tirpa'eni to give the reader somewhat of a physical context of understanding his emotional pain. That's the Ibn Ezra. If you look at number 7, the Radak goes in a little bit of a different direction. The Radak writes, Mizmor shir chanukas habayis leDavid, chibru David sheyomruhu bechanukas beis hamikdash. So the Radak disagrees with the Ibn Ezra, because remember, the Ibn Ezra understands that the bayis that's being referred to over here is what bayis? Right? His own physical home. His own physical home. Remember, just so you have to just keep track of all this. Because remember, the Malbim is in a totally different camp. The Malbim in number 4 understands the bias as a reference to his body. So the Malbim, remember, is our easy approach that essentially negates all the questions we raised. Rashi, so far, Ibn Ezra understands that bias is a reference to his actual physical address, his physical home. Rashi and now the Radak are going to understand, no, that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, the bias that's being referred to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Va'af api she'ein bozez Zecher Habayis, Hiskir Bo Slichas Psha'ov. So Radakna goes into something else. He says, there's another theme in this capital. And what's the other theme? The other theme is one of forgiveness. One of forgiveness, right? Hafachtam visbadi lamacholi pitachta sakiv hatazreni simcha. You took that which should have been mournful, you took that which was difficult, and you turned it into rejoicing. The capital makes reference to the concept of forgiveness. Shahayu choshvim oivav, shelo tiskayim lo hamelucha, ulezaro acharav lo onesh oso avon. Because David HaMelech's detractors assumed that the monarchy, the Davidic line of monarchy, would not continue because of that sin. What's that sin? Sin of Bathsheba. We didn't speak about this as much this particular semester. I think we spent an extensive amount of time last semester, just that everyone understands the story, because the story is an exceptionally complex one, and we'll see actually some of it in the Gemara just a little while. But to make a long story short, David HaMelech is up on his rooftop and observes a woman bathing. The woman is Bathsheba. He summons his guards to bring her to him. He has relations with her that night. At that point, she's currently married to a man by the name of Uriah Hachiti. Yes? I promise, I'm not going to leave any parts of the story. So ultimately, she becomes pregnant. David HaMelech sends her back home to be with her husband so that they shouldn't suspect that the child is from him, that it should be from the husband. Uriah is a very dedicated soldier, won't go ahead and he won't stay at home with his wife if his soldiers are out on the battlefield. To make a very long story short, David HaMelech puts him on the front lines in order that he will intentionally be killed. He gets killed in battle. Limafrei, retroactively, it was not an act of adultery, because as was just mentioned, David HaMelech made a very interesting and very novel institution, which was that he ordered that every man, when he went out to war, gave his wife a conditional get, a conditional writ of divorce. The logic behind that was to avoid aguna situations, because sometimes a man would die in battle, and they wouldn't know what would happen. So the way, I'm not going to get into the mechanics of the get, but the way it worked is, husband would give it to his wife before he left for battle, and should he not return from the battle within X number of days, the get would be retroactively valid to the date that it was given. On a technical level, because a husband can't have a get that takes effect after a husband has already died. So it only works if you date it, and it works retroactively. So it turns out that retroactively, that night when David HaMelech saw Batsheva, she was not a married woman. That's why David HaMelech is not held accountable for an act of adultery. What David HaMelech is held accountable is for an incredible indiscretion. Now, we'll see that there are two parts to this, which is what this act, three parts to it actually, what this act did to David's relationship with God, what this act did to David's relationship to himself, and what the act did to David's relationship to the people. David HaMelech dies to his last day with people calling him an adulterer. People called him an adulterer. His greatest detractors never stopped using the fuel from this Batsheva incident to say that he was unfit, to say that he was immoral, to say that he has no right occupying the throne of Israel. To the point that they assumed that even if David manages to hold on to the throne until his dying day, there is no way that the Davidic line will continue. Because the people will not accept, because remember, Shlomo is the son of David and Bathsheba. Right? The first baby, the first child they had together, David and Bathsheba, died as an infant, and Shlomo is the second child that comes forth from David and Bathsheba. So people assume there's no way that the people will accept a child from this, what they categorized as this illicit union. There's no way. So listen to this. So says the Radak, that's the background. So says the Radak, I'm in the second line, 7 Aleph, Shahayuchoshvim Oivab, Shiloh Tiskayim lo Hamalucha Ulazar Ahav lo Onesh Osavan. Because David's detractors assume that there is no way the Davidic line will continue because as a result of this sin. There's no way that it could be sustained. V'avavi shenamar lo ayidei novi ki beno shenimloch acharav hu yivna abayis lo hayu ma'aminim sheyuchal lihios ki ben sheyuchal. So even though David is told by the prophet explicitly that the son that he will have with Bathsheba will ultimately build the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo, the people did not believe sheyuchal lihios ki ben sheyulad lo me'osa isha yihya melech v'yivna Beis HaMikdash la'Hashem sheyihya makom slicha v'kapara. So listen to this. So the people, now what does it mean, the people? So is it all the people? No, but we all know very well that somehow people, detractors, always manage to have the loudest voices. So they certainly didn't have the numbers. The overwhelming majority of the people were staunch and ardent followers of David HaMelech and understood that as much as their king may have made a mistake, may have committed an indiscretion, they knew that he did tshuva for it, and they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him for it. But the detractors felt that there is no way that a child who was born from this illicit union will build a Beis HaMikdash that is supposed to be the address for divine forgiveness and absolution. It's counterintuitive. Remember, in their mind, it's counterintuitive to think that essentially Shlomo, who in the minds of many was what? Was a mamzer. Remember, yeah, I always mention this. Great people are usually only considered great when they're dead. When they're alive, people make their lives a living Gehenna. It's astounding. So David HaMelech, people tell him his whole life he's not Jewish because he's a descendant of Rus. Shlomo, there's always murmurings that he's a mamzer. Right? So they say it's impossible that the child from this illicit union will build the place that is supposed to be the divine address of forgiveness and absolution. Look at 7 Beis. Ukishem morad Adonia b'sof yomov v'rotzal limloch mi'atzal below rishus. So now remember, we just mentioned this before, and David HaMelech is on his deathbed, so he has not publicly declared Shlomo as his successor. So what happens? His son Adonia, son Adonia, goes ahead and gets together a group of guys, and they declare Adonia the king. And David HaMelech doesn't object to it, most likely because he doesn't actually know about it, because he's sick, he's in bed. So what happens? So the same group of detractors assume that when Adonia declares himself as king, it shows that Shlomo's not going to be king. So something amazing happened. Bathsheba actually comes to tell David, to confront him about what happened with Adonia. And Bathsheba tells David, you promised me that my son Shlomo is going to be king. David says, you're right. And he makes a public proclamation that Shlomo is king. Well, something amazing happens. Once David HaMelech makes a proclamation that Shlomo is going to be king, all of the followers of Adonia go home. Go home. At that point in time, even the detractors of David HaMelech were forced to recognize that the Davidic line was clearly divinely sanctioned. The fact that Shlomo was going to become king, even in the face of controversy, was an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the continuation of the Davidic line. He says, "V'chevan sheratza akel ki ben shenolad lo me'ol sa'i sheyiyeh melech al kol Yisrael, yodu be'emes ki nimcha l'David osa avon mechila gemura ushlema." So we're gonna focus on this theme a little bit in the couple of minutes we have remaining. But when Shlomo becomes king, it's much more than just a matter of succession. What is it? It's the first public display of divine forgiveness. The fact that Shlomo, who is the child of David and Bathsheba, now sits on the throne of Klal Yisrael with a divine seal of approval is the sign to the general populace that God has forgiven David for his indiscretion with Bathsheba. So he goes on. The herald Shlomo, Tsuras Habayis Le'inei Kol Yisrael, V'nesnadechu Le'binyan Habayis Yisnadvu Bo B'nei Yisrael Lefanov, Lefichach, Chiber, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis Al Zeh HaDerech, Shehizkir Bo Slichas Chatov, Shehi Refuas Nafsho. So therefore says the Radak something amazing. I'm going to expound on this in just a moment, which is, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis L'David. David HaMelech sings a song when the Beis HaMikdash is finally erected. Why? He's not going to see it. He'll never step foot in it. Because the creation of the Beis HaMikdash was what? Was the final tangible sign of absolution for David regarding the episode with Bathsheba. Because when that Beis HaMikdash is built, there are two things that are shown in a clear and public way. Number one, that God sanctions the continuation of the Davidic line, and that if God is going to rest His presence in a home that is built by the son of David and Bathsheba, that clearly shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven David for his past misdeeds. So what about the rest of the kapitel that talks about illness? According to the Radak, again, it refers to David HaMelech's spiritual distress. What is his spiritual distress over? You know, the Gemara is going to go on later on. We'll see it if we have time today, but we'll see hopefully part of it. That when David HaMelech is the king, when he was in the Beis Medrash, and they would be learning certain sugyas, so they would humiliate David HaMelech because they would say to him, oh, by the way, David, what is the punishment for a man who commits adultery? Right, his whole life he is dogged by this event. It never escapes him. And the truth is, as we'll see, during his lifetime he doesn't get absolution. But Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, when the Navi tells him that his son is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, he sings a song. Why? Because the rest of the kapitel, my whole life is so difficult, not because of my external enemies, not because of the threats to my kingdom, but because my own constituents constantly call my moral character into question. And I know that the day will come when the people will see that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have forgiven me. That day might not come during my lifetime, but the day will come when my son, who is a continuation of the Davidic line, builds the home that is the address of divine forgiveness and absolution. The people will see finally, in an indisputable fashion, that you have forgiven me for the sin of Bathsheba. So, what happens? Yes. Oh, that's interesting.
What was the question?
I think we mentioned this on Sunday. I'm trying to go to one of our other shiurim. The Gemara talks about the idea that that very often a wife was referred to as a bayis, as a home. So that's interesting. So Mizrashir Chanukah's Havayis David. When that's beautiful. Beautiful. All right, next week you give the shiur. That's beautiful. Beautiful. That's excellent. That's excellent, right. Maybe finally everybody will be able to sanction the union. Beautiful. So what we have so far is the following. So we have, again, trying to understand our two basic questions, which is, number one, why is David HaMelech singing about a home, about a bias that he will never experience? And number two, what does the rest of the kapitel have to do with the inauguration of the home? So far we've seen the Malbim, who understands the home is not the Beis HaMikdash, rather what is the home? The guf. David HaMelech is referring to a situation where he was very ill, which we'll discuss in just a little bit. When a person is ill, the foundation of the home becomes weakened. When a person is healed, the foundation is restabilized. There's a Chanukah Sabayis. There is a reinauguration of the home. According to Rashi, Ibn Ezra Radak, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. According to Ibn Ezra, the bayis over here is David HaMelech's own home. When he wants to build his home, after he builds his home, is when he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi tells him, no, he's crushed. That feeling of being crushed is expressed in the rest of the kapitel. Ultimately, he's able to pick himself back up when the Navi tells him, even though you won't get to build it, your son will. Radak seems to take this one step further, and like Rashi understands, they know the bayis over here is, in fact, the Beis HaMikdash, and what's happening over here is David HaMelech is in a state of incredible emotional distress. Why? Because the people are constantly disparaging him over the episode with Bathsheba. And so David HaMelech says, but the day will come when they will recognize that I have been forgiven. When is that day? When will I finally be able to sing Mizmor Shir? When will it happen? Chanukah's Habayis. The day that the Beis HaMikdash is built by my son is the day that people will see that the Davidic line is sanctioned, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven me, and finally my reputation will be cleared. So according to this approach, it's almost like Mizmor Shir. When will I sing Chanukah's Habayis? When the temple is inaugurated, Ludovit, because then people will see that I'm not as bad as they make me out to be. Then people will see that although I committed a mistake, I did my tshuva. I asked for forgiveness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted it to me. So along these same lines, if you take a look at number 8, I'll show you two very interesting gemaras with this. Bless you. So let's take a look, and I don't know if we'll get to the Chanukah tie-in today, but at least we'll lay the groundwork. So look at number 8. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says, Vini kesin in pesh harav, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel olam micholi al oso avon kulo. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I need you to forgive me for this sin in totality. So David HaMelech understands that he needs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to display in a tangible fashion that God has forgiven him. Amar, so God responds, Kvar osid Shlomo bincha lomar b'chach masov. So God gives David a very interesting answer. He says, David, your son Shlomo will say from Mishlei, Hayechet ha'ish ish b'cheiko u'begadav lo tisrafenu. Can a man kindle a fire by his chest and his clothing not get burnt? Im yahalech ish al hagecholim v'raglav lo techavena. If a person walks on coals, will his feet not get burnt? Kein haba al eishes re'ehu lo yinake kol hanogea ba. So too, any man who's intimate with his friend's wife will never be cleansed from that touch. So, according to this approach, so David HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding to David HaMelech in a very scathing fashion. That, you know what, you committed, you did the act, and now you're coming to me looking for absolution. This, by the way, this Gemara, in the general context of tshuva, is a fascinating Gemara. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying to David is, whenever you sin, there is always a residual effect. And even if you do tshuva, and even if you say you're sorry, the fact is a person who commits certain types of activities, that leaves a mark on the neshama. You could escape the punishment, you could change the person who you are, but the effects are still felt, which of course is interesting, because you do have the notion of tshuva, totally cathartic tshuva, transformative tshuva, where a person becomes a separate person. So how to reconcile those two ideas, we'll say for a different idea. So the Gemara says, Amarlei, Kol hachi mitra dehu gavra. So David HaMelech responds in an amazing way. Almost like he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want of me? I did something terrible. I accept it. I accept that I have responsibility for it. Remember, David HaMelech also, he lost a child for it. I accept that what I did was wrong, and I'm sincerely penitent. So what else can I do to absolve myself of this? So Amar Lakadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kibel Alecha Yisurin. Accept upon yourself suffering. Suffering. Human suffering has the ability to purge the neshama of sin. So accept upon yourself suffering. Kibel Alav. David HaMelech accepted it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Shisha Chadoshim Nitzara David. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, that for 6 months David HaMelech was stricken with tzaras. V'nistalka himena shechina. As a result, God himself separated from David. U'pirshimena Sanhedrin. The members of the high court separated from David. And the Gemara goes on to prove each of those points. So why am I bringing this Gemara? Because this is a reference to the sickness that we discussed earlier on, where the Malbim says that David HaMelech was sick, right? So where does the sickness come from? That's this sickness. That David HaMelech accepted upon himself as a way of purging himself of any kind of residual effect of the episode with Bathsheba, accepts upon himself voluntary yisurin, voluntary suffering, again, to purge the last remnants of that sin. If you look at number 9, another Gemara. The Amrav Yehuda Amrav. My dichsiv, aseini os litova, viyiru son ai vievoshu. What does David HaMelech mean when he says later on in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perform for me a sign in order that my detractors, my enemies will see and they will be embarrassed? Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, mechol li al oso avon. So this is amazing. So you see again now a second Gemara, David HaMelech having the same conversation with God. Forgive me for the sin. Forgive me for what I did. So look at the response in this Gemara. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, second line number 9, Machalacha. So what does God respond? Forgiven. Now, again, so the truth is, it could very well be that number 9 is a follow-up of number 8. That after David HaMelech accepts the Yisurin, he still goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not convinced, you know, the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva brings down, it's an interesting idea, not a topic for today, but is a person supposed to remember their sins? Or, once I do Tshuva, do I just simply let it go? I did something 5 years ago. Am I supposed to still be contemplating that today? Or once you do tshuva, you have to let it slip into the recesses of the subconscious and not deal with it anymore. It's a fundamental dispute in the mechanics of tshuva. Fundamental dispute. David HaMelech himself actually says, V'chatosi negdi somit. My sin is always in front of me. And it's clear that David HaMelech is... It's just such an incredible musr in the dynamic of chait, that there are certain things we do that just change the entire trajectory of our existence. So for David HaMelech, after the episode of Bathsheba, life is never the same, not because of anyone else, it's also because of anyone, but because of him. Because he never looks at himself in the same way, and he's never fully convinced that he's forgiven. See, even after voluntarily accepting upon himself the suffering, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch when he says, forgive me. And God says, okay, you're forgiven. Machulucha. Amar lo, asei mi os bechayai. David HaMelech says, show me a sign. Give me some kind of tangible display that you have forgiven me. Amar lo, bechayecha eini modia. During your lifetime, I will not give you a sign. Bechaye Shlomo bincha ani modia. But during the lifetime of your son Shlomo, there I'll give you a sign. Now why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give David a sign during his lifetime is a complex question. Almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that the part of the tshuva for David HaMelech was living without the sign. So look what he says. So where does the sign come? Kishabana Shlomo is Beis HaMikdash, Bikesh Lahachnis Arlo Beis Kodesh, Kodesh HaKadosh. It was a famous Maisa. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to bring the Ark into the Kodesh, the Holy of Holies. Dovku sha'arim ze baze. But the gates of the Mikdash would not open. Amar Shlomo Esrim Va'arba Renanos V'lo Na'ana. Shlomo Melech says 24 supplications and the gates won't open. Pasach Va'amar Su'ush Arim Rasheich Linasru Pisram Ve'vo Melech HaKavod Rotu Basri Le'mivale. So Shlomo Melech again says, open up the gates, and the gates run after him to swallow him up. Which of course is a little hyperbole to point out that no matter what he does, he can't get the gates open. So skip down a little bit. He says, Kevan Sha'amar, three lines up from the bottom of the Gemara, when he finally says, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshev Pinei Meshichecha, Zochra Lechasde David Avdecha. When Shlomo Melech finally says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember David. Remember David. Don't do it in my zechus. I, Shlomo, clearly don't have the requisite merit to get the gates open. But Zochra, Lechasdi David Avdecha, do it in the merit of David your servants, Miyad Na'ane, the gates open. So only once Shlomo evokes the memory of his father, only once he utters the name David, only then do the gates open. The Gemara says, Ba'os Shah Nebchu Pnei Kosone David Kishule Kedera. At that moment, all of the detractors and enemies of David HaMelech, their faces became kishuli ketera, literally means like the bottom of a pot. Now, I don't know, what the Gemara actually means to say is their faces turned white. I don't know if the bottom of the pot turns white, but that's what the Gemara means. I guess their types of pots. I'm sorry? When there's a fire under it, it turned white. They lost all of the color from their face. V'yodu kola am v'cho Yisrael, shemacho lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oso. Of them. Because at that moment, the entire Jewish people understood that God had unequivocally and unconditionally forgiven David for his sin. So now we understand this entire kapitel. So Mizmor Shir Chanukas Haba. Well, actually, one more. I'm sorry. Take a look at number 10. So that Taras Chaim over here comments. He says, "Vahainu nami deka'amar aromimcha Hashem." Ki dilisani, velo amar ki ha'elisani. So the Taras Chaim makes an amazing observation. So what does David HaMelech say? Armimcha Hashem, I will praise you, God. Ki dilisani, for you have raised. Like dilisani means what, right? So that could be dal, but also the word dole means to draw, right? How do you draw water out of a well? Right, you lower the bucket, you pull it up. So dilisani means you have uplifted me. You have not allowed my enemies to rejoice over me. So Taras Chaim says, why did David use the word dilisani? He should have used the word he'elisani. You lift him up. So Taras Chaim says something amazing. Because what was David HaMelech hinting to? Let's take a look at number 10. Elo ki avelo amar ki dilisani remez l'sha'arim v'daltos shal beis hamikdash sheniftechu al yado. It's an allusion, it's a hint to what? Dilisani also has the word what? Deles, door. A reference to the fact that the gates only would open when Shlomo brought up the name of his father. So what comes out according to this approach is something absolutely amazing, which is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. David HaMelech spent the entire kapitel highlighting the difficulties, the emotional difficulties, the spiritual difficulties of having committed an indiscretion that no one will allow him to forget and that no one actually believes he will be forgiven for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only time that people will really say I will be forgiven is when? When will I really sing? When will it be a time of Mizmor Shir? When it's Chanukas Habayis. When the Beis HaMikdash is built by my son. When the address of divine forgiveness and absolution is built by my son, who is the product of me and Bat Sheva, only then will people see, A, that the Davidic line is sanctioned, and that I have been forgiven for this indiscretion. And now again, why? You know, and I'll praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki dilisani. At the moment of the daltos, at the moment that the gates only open when Shlomo brings up my memory, that'll be the point, that my enemies will no longer have the ability to rejoice over my downfall. So what does this have to do with Hanukkah? So what's interesting is about this, even before we get to Hanukkah, there's a very powerful yusod that comes out from this kapitel, which is that forgiveness is sometimes not immediately attainable. You know, you see this often when people hurt each other. So if I hurt Reuven, so once I realize what I did, my natural inclination is, I'm sorry. And if Reuven doesn't immediately forgive me, there almost seems sometimes the offender has a sense of like righteous indignation. I apologized, and it was actually even mostly sincere. Right? And now you're not going to forgive me? And right, everybody likes to pull out that halacha, like the one halacha that everybody knows from Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to ask you 3 times. Right? Then if you don't forgive me, then... Right? You have to realize that forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness is a process. And when you hurt someone, sometimes they're not ready to give you that forgiveness immediately. And that's what David HaMelech is saying over here, for whatever the reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not give David the sign of forgiveness during his lifetime. Even like the Gemara said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I forgave you, Machol Lecha, but he wasn't ready to make the public declaration of forgiveness until long after David had died. Until David was no longer here. Forgiveness, David HaMelech is teaching us, forgiveness is always attainable. Just sometimes you have to wait for it. Sometimes you have to wait until the person or the entity who you are offended is truly willing to grant it to you. And that's part of the collateral damage of sin. You have to be willing to wait, whether it's a sin made Adam Machaver interpersonal or a sin made Adam Lamakom. Just because I now am ready to admit that I did something wrong and I'm ready to say I'm sorry does not mean that the offending party automatically owes me that immediate forgiveness. Sometimes for reasons that we do understand, sometimes for reasons that we don't understand, true reconciliation, true forgiveness takes a little bit of time. Now, why is this important? Because this, and with this we'll conclude, we'll pick up more with this next week, but this is very much part of the dominant theme of Hanukkah. The concept of reconciliation, and sometimes reconciliation itself taking time. If you look at number 11, this is the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. It talks about Hanukkah, where the Gemara talks about the idea that the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash. They found that oil, all of the oil was defiled. They found one little jug of oil and it burned for 8 days. So if you look at the last line of the Gemara says, the underlying line, the Gemara says, L'shana acheres, kav'um va'aso'um yomim tovim b'halel v'hoda. In a subsequent year, they established Hanukkah as a Yom Tov. And what's the obvious question? The obvious question becomes, why in a subsequent year, right? I don't know about you, but if I lit a little jug of oil and it lasted for 8 days, it wouldn't take me too long to decide that this was cause for a Yom Tov. But Lashon Acheres means in some subsequent year. It doesn't even mean the year after. It most probably actually means a number of years after the incident, after the event, after the miracle, they established Hanukkah as a Yom Tov. Why? So the Sasanis explains that there was such rampant assimilation in the ranks of the Jewish people that it would have been ridiculous to make a new Yom Tov. The ranks of the Jewish people were so severely depleted by Hellenization, by assimilation, that we're going to make a new Yom Tov, and who's going to celebrate it? We're lucky if we get a minion in Shul. Who's going to celebrate this? It would have been silly to do it. So they had to wait to declare a new Yom Tov until they could rebuild and re-energize the ranks of the Jewish people. So it puts a new spin on Hanukkah. Because then in reality, when the Chashmonaim come into the Beis HaMikdash, and they light that menorah, what are they doing? They're re-engaging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're saying, God, as a people, we have strayed. As a people, we have strayed. But now we're coming back. Now we're coming to reconcile. Now we're coming to rebuild and rekindle the relationship. And we know that I can't expect it to be as it was immediately, like in any relationship. When you damage a relationship, even if you say you're sorry, even if you try to reconcile, you can't expect it just to snap back to what it was before the event. But we're trying. We're making a step to reconcile with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're hoping that over time, the relationship can be rebuilt. So now we understand why the Maseches Sofim explains that this particular kapitel is read on Hanukkah. Because the entire essence of kapitel Lamed is all about reconciliation, is all about forgiveness, and a recognition that sometimes true and absolute forgiveness, sometimes the ability to truly rehabilitate the relationship, takes time. And that's the essence of Hanukkah. When the Hashanah come into the Beis HaMikdash, it's a desire to rehabilitate the relationship. It's a desire to start anew. It's a desire to start fresh, recognizing Lashon Acheres. It can't be immediately as it was right now, no matter how badly we want it. But you know what? When you love someone, whether that someone is a person or whether that someone is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're willing to put in the time to remake and to rehabilitate the relationship. Just like David HaMelech, despite the fact that he was not going to get what he wanted most, which was an explicit public sign of divine forgiveness, he worked towards the relationship knowing one day that full reconciliation would one day occur. Just like his descendants, not his direct descendants, but the descendants of the Jewish, the Hashmonaim, were willing to begin the process of reconciliation despite the fact that they knew that when they started, it wasn't going to be exactly what they wanted, it wasn't going to pick up exactly where they had left off, but they were willing to put in the time, hoping to rehabilitate, to rekindle the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, planning for the years ahead. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll, Amir Hashem, continue with Kapitel Lamed next week also, because there are more Chanukah tie-in, and we'll, God willing, focus a little bit more on some of the specific pesukim in the Kapitel. Thank you.